Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Sunday epistle takes up where we left off last week, which is a rare arrangement in the Missal. St. Paul is stressing today Christian cooperation in different practical aspects. It's really the fruits of the Holy Ghost we saw last Sunday, or how to avoid some of Satan's traps in getting along again with your fellow Catholics. Mutual forbearance, then, and second, share the good things. The collection basket, for example. Don't let it pass you by, lest you be cheating God, says the apostle. Of course, they didn't have collection baskets back then, and probably you could just send a check once a month in the mail and that would be fine, or we're thinking about setting up something now for online giving. But St. Paul feels so strongly about it that he resorts to a slang word in the Greek to get the idea across. He says, all right, when the basket comes by, it's something like, don't sneer at God. Literally, it's drawing up your nostrils. Quite expressive. This we do, what do you? By spending all or almost all your money on yourself, your own comforts, and none on the church or on the poor. Short-sighted, give according to your means, or else you'll never get. Speaking of this, Father Cicada asked me to mention he's sending out a building fund letter. We're hoping this fall to resolve the air conditioning problem before it becomes a heating problem for the coming winter. And a greeting and a reminder to the dear faithful who are with us following on the webcast, our virtual congregation, do contribute. We've come to depend upon your monthly offerings as well. But what about those today, let's see, who give to us, who give offense, some slight, real or imagined, or even who sin against us, some insult, real or perceived? Say, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, those who trespass against us. The meekness St. Paul talks about in the epistle I've just read, that doesn't refer to being gentle with sinners. Sometimes you should be, and sometimes you shouldn't. The idea is, don't be unforgiving when you are rudely or uncharitably treated. And that's the lesson of the next verse. We read it almost every Sunday noon in our prayers, the Divine Office. So I've had plenty of time to think about that over the years. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. You might think this means be nice, be sympathetic to somebody else's problems. And while it's a good thing to be a good listener and to have a kind word at the ready, St. Paul is urging us towards better things. Nothing so easy as a gesture or a mere phrase of sympathy. It really means put up with others when they offend you, or even when they scandalize you, and certainly when you find them annoying. They really get on your nerves. To where you'd usually say something, but don't. Bear the burden of another's failings, his trespasses against you. This, at least, is how St. John Chrysostom And also Thomas a Kempis, you know, the imitation of Christ. That's how they read this phrase in the epistle. Now, who gives us, do you think, the best example of this? I'm thinking we'd have to turn to today's proper last gospel, St. Luke. See the dead man, only son of his mother, and she a widow. When Jesus sees the widow of Nain, he sees his mother. And without being asked, he restores the dead son to the bereaved mother. One less burden then for her to have to bear. See in the widow of Nain the figure of a mother. How often she simply, silently, but with suffering, bears it. Weep not, sometimes we would like to say, for a sorrowful mother. Mary bears as a mother would, as a mother should, the failings, the sins, even grievous or mortal unto death. A mother does that too, for her sons and for her daughters. But for Mary, that's why there's the sword in her heart over the altar. The first of her seven sorrows, Simeon's prophecy in the temple, and thine own soul, a sword shall pierce. What a burden, and she bears it, for she is the mother of Jesus Christ. At the Annunciation, she assented when she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Handmaid means slave. And that's a good definition for a mother, many a day, or so it seems. She accepts to be God's little slave in becoming the blessed mother of Jesus, and thus of us, because we are his members, we are part of his mystical body, the church. Even those long gone, grown up and gone away, fallen away, even those called who never come in, she is still the mother. The first annunciation is from the archangel at Nazareth. She's chosen to be the mother of God. The second is from God's Son at Calvary. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And that is done in the person of John. But we were all there the second time we were given to her. And she gave birth to us in blood and in pain. 1,000 martyrdoms would not equal the sufferings of death that she experienced in childbirth at Calvary. He, Jesus Christ, as the apostle says, the author and the finisher of our work, he bore our sins in his flesh upon the tree, and Mary bore them in her heart every moment, not just of the passion, but of her life. What a thought. She, the mother, silently suffers. She is the tower of strength. She bears, too, the burden of our sins and the sufferings whereby they are atoned. And finally, we make her to bear the slights and the insults and sometimes outrages and indifferences of us, her children. And that's the sense of the prayer the angel taught the children at Fatima. I think this helps a little to put Fatima into a scriptural context. Mary bears the burden as a mother even of those who deliberately offend her. And the Father, Almighty God, he wants reparation made to her motherly heart. What is reparation if not that we step forward and willingly carry a bit of the burden ourselves? The rosary, the scapular, the first Saturdays, the first Sundays. Remember this winter we saw you can do those five firsts on the Sunday too, just with the priest's permission. Have you ever gotten around to making the five firsts? Remember why? The doctrine. We looked at it and studied it together this Lent. For blasphemies against her immaculate conception, her perpetual virginity, Mary's divine and spiritual motherhood, as well for rejecting or dishonoring her images, as so many do today, and neglecting carelessly or deliberately to implant in children a knowledge and a love of this Immaculate Mother. Devotion to Our Lady, the Fatima message especially, I think is a key to unlock in modern times some of the treasures of Scripture in this regard. Now, couldn't we bear her burden a while as she does ours always, and thus together fulfill the law of Christ? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.